Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a podcast of Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9.
Live from the studios of Joy 94.9, Let's Talk Footy with match reviews and previews, tips, guest interviews and discussions of some of the biggest AFL headlines of the week. Please welcome One Direction's number 3 ticket holder, John Donohoe, and super talented, amazing midfielder, Cale Morton. Oh, and there's Dougal Austin as well, but he's not that important. Take it away, boys.
Yeah, another big week of Let's Talk Footy. Cale giving me the wrap up there. Get that song off the radio. They're not in the winning mood at the moment.
Not too familiar with that song, are we, Dougal?
No. Maybe this weekend. Anyway, Let's Talk Footy, Melbourne's Joy 94.9. Another big show. My name's Dougal Austin. I'm going to do this very quickly this week. In the studio with us this week is number 3 ticket holder of One Direction, Mr. John Donohoe. Donna's good to see ya.
Look, I think we need to change that introduction now. That was good for the first few shows, but now at Joy we need to change it up. But breaking news just quickly, Cale Morton being selected in the side to take on Melbourne this week. Morts.
Taking on Melbourne? No, we're taking on Gold Coast.
Sorry, taking on the Gold Coast. Yep.
Oh, it's official, mate. We can change that intro to Melbourne midfielder now.
Melbourne midfielder. Yep, right.
We can get it on.
Yeah. But we got a special guest in the studio with us.
Look, we do. You want to introduce him, John?
Yeah, I'll introduce
him.
Go
ahead.
The 220-game superstar from Collingwood, or if we add the 22 at Sydney, 242 games, 415 goals. Anthony Rocker, welcome to Let's Talk Footy.
Those 22 for Sydney were very important.
They were, sorry. Yeah. My apologies.
That's okay.
Very important game.
Thank you for having me. I haven't been on the radio for a while, so it's hopefully it's a good night.
Easing you back into your radio, getting back into it here on Let's Talk Footy. We've got a very large supporter base out there, so
no doubt
throughout the next week you'll have people coming up to you telling you.
had a lot of tweets during the week at how many of our listeners were excited that Anthony was joining us this week.
That's good, that's good.
And mate, you've been monitoring that Twitter account, so just give it a bit of a spiel for us.
I have. If you want to send us a tweet at @footyjoy. And if you feel like sending us a text, SMS 0427JOY949. If you've got any questions for Anthony or the three of us or something you'd like us to talk about, then let us know.
Or you can just go to the Facebook page.
You can,
Facebook.com/ Let's Talk Footy. We're going viral with this social
media. We're all over the internet.
And can I just please announce that the Let's Talk Footy crew are pleased to announce the exciting acquisition of Ashley Stewart from AFL New South Wales. She's come on board as the Let's Talk Footy interstate reporter. So she'll be providing the Facebook page and Twitter account with photographs and audio from media events that happen in the AFL
mate.
In Sydney. So
that's a huge
she's come on board for that.
Yeah. Mate, if they start an AFL team down in Tasmania, you might get the nod as the head recruiter the way you're going. You'll find you can take Anthony down as your assistant coach.
Development coach?
Assistant. I'm not an assistant. Come on, head coach.
Not yet. climbing the ladder.
Now, boys, it's been a big week in footy. John, your club, Old Xaverians, tracking along nicely.
Yeah, look, went down for my first game since I've been back and had a nice win.
Back from Ireland,
back
that
from
is.
Ireland,
back
yes,
from Ireland,
sorry.
Not back from
back
the shoulder.
Back from overseas, no. But, yeah, as I'm not playing, I went and watched and they had a nice win over... I actually can't remember who they played now, but...
A very important game,
anyway.
Yeah. One they had to win.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it was. And Dougal, how about yourself, mate? How's your week been?
Big week, yes, although I'm not a footy player, I'm a tennis player, so we were washed out last Saturday. Couldn't play, but it turned into a swimming battle.
Ah, well, nonetheless, we're joined by Anthony Rocker here. So
we are joined by Anthony Rocker, and Anthony playing with the West Preston Footy Club, I hear.
Yeah, out in the Northern League. When I get the opportunity, when I'm not doing any coaching for Collingwood with VFL, I get down there and have a kick with the boys. And lucky enough tonight, I miss out on training to be on the radio, which is a good thing.
So we've done you a favour.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Save those hamstrings another couple of games.
The ground's full of mud at the moment, so it's a good thing.
Absolutely fantastic.
How do you go these days compared to the AFL days?
Look, I was a lot fitter back then, even though I wasn't the fittest bloke going around back then, but I don't get out of 50 too often. Just put it on my head and I'll do my best.
It's a good place to stay, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kick a lot of goals down there.
And how's the Collingwood Football Club going? I guess, do you do more with the VFL side there? Or?
I do on the weekend. The VFL side, I'm the backline coach in the VFL side, so, we're not tracking all that good, but we're developing the young fellows quickly to try and make their transition to AFL football as smooth as possible. But I've got a responsibility of looking after a couple of young fellows through our development program, and that's takes up a lot of time during the week, and it's a lot of fun.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Anthony, do you keep an eye on your brother's form over in the States? And also, did you ever think about going over there to be a punter, because we know you can kick a ball a long way?
I speak to Sav quite regularly, and he's in pre-season. I think their first pre-season game is next week.
Yeah,
so
it's coming along nicely.
He's going really well. Yep. His coach loves him, which is a bonus.
It's always good, yeah.
And yeah, I had a tryout when I first retired, and had a tryout with the New York Giants.
Oh, nice.
At the time, and it was a really good experience. But they wanted me to come back for a pre-season. They liked what they saw in the tryout. And, look, I had a young family at the time, and a couple of days later after the tryout, I had a really good think about it, and I thought, I don't want to live over here. I'm going to be pretty isolated and with a young family and things like that. So I pulled the plug straight away.
Well, you don't get on the ground all that often either. You're standing around the cold and the snow, and but when you do, it's not a
bad gig for the amount of money they get.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Sav's first game when he got cleaned up?
It was his first practice match.
And they don't usually get tackled, punters.
No, he got blindsided and got hit from the side. And ironically, that guy who hit him got a $15,000 fine.
Oh, wow. Really?
And then a couple of years later, got they were both in the same team. And he actually apologised to him for it. So,
that's unbelievable.
No, absolutely fantastic to have Anthony, you in the studio with us. We're going to talk to Anthony a bit later on about his career and how it went, and also ask him a few questions about Kevin Sheedy, because Sheeds' 1,000th match coming up this weekend. So we're going to have a bit of a segment dedicated to Sheeds.
No doubt about it. Anthony definitely would have played in a lot of those Anzac Day matches that we might talk about later on.
If you'd like to communicate further with us on Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9, this is how you do it.
Have you got a comment or question for one of our panellists? Simply text to 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. You're listening to Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Russell Robertson, and you're listening to Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9.
Indeed, Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9. Russell Robertson, next teammate of yours, big fan of the show.
That's a good little addition to the show there, Dougal.
Yeah, well, comes up each week. We might have to get Anthony to record one after us after the show as well.
That'd be a great idea, I think. But that's very well done to you there, Dougal. A bit of a surprise for John and I. We haven't heard that before.
Didn't hear that one. That's
no, new one this week that Robbo and I recorded.
Yeah, well done, mate.
So, now, look, guys, Dougal's trivia, big segment each week. Last week, wasn't
huge segment.
Huge
well,
segment.
Not that huge. I mean,
the
last
prize morts this week
the
is
prize
massive.
Morts is massive. We're giving away a book. We're giving away Elton John, Love Is The Cure. Singer, songwriter, performer, Grammy Award and Tony Award winner who has sold over 250,000 albums. Yes, talking about Elton John, never before has Elton shared details of his personal story as he has in his first book, including his struggle with drugs, alcohol and fame. All sales of Love Is The Cure will benefit the Elton John's AIDS Foundation. Last week we didn't have a trivia question, we had a bit of a creativity question. This week, talking about Kevin Sheedy later on the show, we're talking about fondest memories of Kevin Sheedy. We're after your fondest memory of Kevin Sheedy, if you've got one out there, and we'd like you to share that with us. So send in your fondest memory of Kevin Sheedy to us, 0427 Joy 949, which is 0427 569 949, and we'll monitor, Kale and John will monitor sure to the fondest memories that get texted in. We'll pick one at the end of the show.
We'll be all over it, and as we'll be sharing some of our fondest memories as well. But while we're talking about the text, we've got a message here. Someone's got a question for Anthony. He'd like to know, who do you rate as flag favourite this year? That was Darren from St Kilda East.
Well, it's really...
Aside from Collingwood, I suppose.
Yeah, well, aside from Collingwood. It's hard to predict because every team is going through a phase where they become flag favourites. Now they get 3 or 4 weeks put together and, they perform well. At the moment, you're going to have to say Hawthorn.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, you would have been saying Collingwood. A couple of weeks before that, you would have been tipping Geelong.
It was Carlton a couple of months ago.
Is this the closest season you've seen in your time watching AFL and playing AFL? Is it the closest the season's ever been?
Pretty much. Because there's a rate. I believe there's four or five teams that can win it.
And then you've got the four below, like the last four in the eight, who are fighting for spots, and then you've got three outside the eight who are fighting for the eighth spot. And
yeah.
It could go either way.
Definitely, it can go either way. There's teams that are in form who are in the eight, and there's teams that are out of form at the moment.
Absolutely,
in the eight as well.
Yeah.
So, and there's a team like, I think Kangaroos are just out of the eight.
Yeah.
And they're flying at the moment.
Freo and St Kilda as well,
yeah.
St Kilda, Fremantle. There as well.
Melbourne, don't forget Melbourne.
Melbourne, they're nowhere near the
I
eight,
think
mate.
If results go our way, we can just scrape in.
Mathematically, it's still possible. Gold Coast this week and GWS next week. There's two wins.
Oh, hopefully. No, we've got St Kilda next week.
St Kilda next week.
Just a quick question for Anthony. In your time as a player, now you're obviously back at the club as a coach, how have things changed?
Well, I'm doing a lot more hours than what I was doing as a player, I can tell you that. Look, it's just I'm constantly on the computer most of the day. I hate it. I'm being on the computer watching edits and things like that. But I am lying a little bit. We try and get out on the sprung floor and do a lot of touch with the players and keep their touch up to date. But the things that have changed. Obviously, doing edits after a game on a Saturday, and it takes up most of your Sunday to do edits and things like that, but just the more hours involved.
Yeah. Just at any stage, did you think after your footy career finished, did you think, look, I haven't had a weekend for 10 to 12 years, it'd be great just to have a weekend, with the family or, to do something in your own time? And obviously back in coaching, you don't have that.
Yeah, well, I intentionally did that the year I retired. I had, in 2010, I only worked at the football club one day a week and helped a tradie friend out for a little bit, and it was probably one of the best years of my life where I got most of the week and the weekends off, so and spend a bit of time overseas with the family, which was good. So I intentionally did that because football takes up so much time.
Anthony, who do you like? What youngsters do you like that are coming through the ranks in the VFL at the moment for Collingwood? Who you think could be stars of the future?
There's a couple of them. There's a couple already playing. Jamie Elliott. Yeah. He's playing senior football, and if he wouldn't have been injured throughout the preseason, he would have played earlier.
Yeah.
Jackson Payne. He's playing a fair bit of VFL football.
Yeah.
And he's a strong kid, but also needs a little bit of time to develop as well, but has been in and out of the side. Another fella I like is Jared Witts.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much like Aaron Sanderlands. He's 250 centimetres tall and kicks he kicks left foot. And but he will take a lot of time to develop, and we've just got to be patient with him as well.
And I suppose a former teammate of yours, Marty Clark's obviously returned to the Collingwood lineup this year. He took a year off, went to Ireland.
Yeah, he got a bit homesick back then and went back home, spent a bit of time at home, played Gaelic football, and has come back and has been performing well when he's been playing. But he's a great acquisition back into our team.
Last week, you travelled up to Scotia Stadium. You took on the new team, the Greater Western Sydney Giants. You rested a lot of your star players because I've noted that...
No, they weren't rested, they were injured.
Injured, were they? Because I've noted into the side this week you've got O'Brien, Thomas, Willingham, Sidebottom, Jolly. There's a few big names in that.
Yeah.
It's annoying that they come back from injury against St Kilda. don't like that.
Donners is a big St Kilda supporter.
It's a typical one-week injury.
Yeah, I know. But
happens to the best of us.
Happens a lot, yeah. Mortz has had a couple of those.
Never happened down at Melbourne, boys.
Not yet, anyway.
No.
How did you go into that game last week? Obviously, you're not taking on the Giants before. Well, you didn't take them on lightly. You took them on as a threat to you guys.
No, well, nothing changed from week to week. We review the upcoming opponents quite heavily. Ron Yee does a really good job of that at reviewing the side, and we just look at their strengths, their weaknesses, and because we had a really poor game against Hawthorn the week before, there was more of a focus of what we can do really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went into that game of what we can do better, how we can move the ball better, and how we can defend the ball a bit better, as you've seen that we haven't defended the ball that great over the past few weeks. So a lot of that come into it.
Now, we, on our Let's Talk Footy show, we have a segment usually each week called Video Challenges. So each week, Cale, John and I, we get texts in, you know, what challenges they'd like to see us done. Like a few weeks ago, it was the tablespoon of cinnamon challenge, and it was the mini golf one, then the table tennis one.
It's usually a walk in the park for me, Anthony.
Yeah. Mortars two up.
I think last week we got the badminton one got texted in, but for unforeseen reasons and weren't able to record it this week. So we've got two that we have to record.
Yeah, mate,
next
just
week.
Getting that right rotator cuff ready, mate. It's just a bit tight at the moment.
Had to wait to see it in the Olympics and
well,
see
mate,
how they do it.
I sat down. I thought, how am I going to get good at badminton? How do you say it?
Badminton, mate.
Badminton. Yep. And I thought, I'll watch the ladies play. However, what a disaster that was. The ladies over in London, they tanked.
They did.
They tanked.
And eight of them got disqualified.
They did. So yeah. four,
and the
four
Aussies
teams,
got back into the quarters.
Four teams got disqualified for intentionally losing matches, or trying to anyway. So that was interesting.
Brock McLean wasn't too happy about them tanking either. So
not at all. But anyway, I just want to add, just to our Collingwood supporters that are listening out there, if they've got any questions for Anthony while I've got him in the studio, obviously a superstar guest, send in a text to 0427JOY949. I've got one for you just quickly. Dane Swan, what's he like around the club? How does he train? How does he go about it? And what do you think sets him apart from the rest?
It's a good question. What sets him apart is his explosive power and being able to just find the footy. Swanee's improved his training over this year. If you would have watched him train over the past couple of years, you play as you train normally. The harder you train, the better player you are. But you know, Dane found that was the best recovery for him throughout the week. Was probably not to go as hard during training and just to let it all hang out during game day. So he's a fantastic player. Mm. Finds the ball, kicks goals, and can defend if you really need him to. But he makes it happen with Pendlebury in the midfield.
Dane Beams,
Daisy Thomas, side bottom, Jared Blair as well. So it's a great combination.
Yeah. Do you see any resemblance with Dane Beams just starting to take on a few of those tattoos? It's a bit of a worry.
There's a bit of a challenge there, I think.
Yeah. What do they have a whiteboard at the club where all the boys get to, you know, put up a tattoo that they suggest?
Imagine
and
how
Swanee
much money
goes
they
out
would
and
have
gets
saved.
It.
Maybe we should have a tattoo video challenge.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Anthony, were you a bit? I don't know what the right word is, but bitter about how the 2010 class won the premiership and you weren't able to play in one?
I wasn't bitter. I was certainly jealous.
Yeah, jealous.
I can tell you that.
Sorry.
Look, when the first grand final was on, I was quite jealous because, you know, the year before I retired in 2009 and they won it in 2010, I was thinking, well, maybe they didn't win it because I was involved for all those years.
Yeah.
But you know, I was wrapped for him because I knew how much time and effort a lot of these boys have put into to get that far.
Yeah.
So
because you missed out on playing in the 2003 grand final, was it?
Yeah, I got reported.
Yeah.
Which was really a joke. But
do you keep in touch with what else has happened in the AFL? Because there's been some huge headlines that have come up during the week, and I guess one today that came up was Damien Hardwick. He entered into the tanking debate, and he called for an NBA-style draft lottery system to deter clubs from deliberately losing games.
Mm. I think that's a good idea because if you've seen the NBA lottery thing, it's the team that finishes last has the most percentage of chance to get the first pick, but
necessarily getting it.
It's like a lottery, so they pull your name out of an envelope and whoever gets it.
And I guess this whole discussion came about with former Melbourne player now at Carlton, Brock McLean, admitting that he left the Demons because he was unhappy with the perceived tanking in 2009.
Mm. You're looking at me. Do you have a question
well,
for me?
Well, being playing at Melbourne at the moment, do you have any thoughts?
I was there with Brock, and I played with him for a couple of years, and no doubt he says it how it is, and he's a brutally honest man, and you know he didn't hold anything back, and I thought he was very honest. Look, he probably didn't overstep the mark, but he treaded the fine line, and you know what he said, I guess, you know, has started something, and it'll be interesting to see where these so-called investigations lead to or what comes of it. I'm just as interested as everyone else, I think.
Do you think he needed to say it? I feel like it's just opened a can of worms that didn't need to be opened. Like, I'm not sure if he needed to say anything about it.
Yeah, well, I guess what the interesting thing that I think Paul Roos and Mike Sheehan asked him on the couch was, you know, he was probably the next captain of Melbourne, and that was the way things were panning out for him. And then to see him leave at the end of that season, I'm not sure which season it was a bit of a shock for Melbourne supporters.
But he had a few issues with off-field behaviour.
Part of my
reasoning as to why he left is because he realised that he was never going to be the captain of the Melbourne Football Club anymore.
Well, mate, that's what the reporters were probing into, and that Brock's answer, you know, has opened up this new story.
What do you think, Anthony? Tanking? Damien Hardwick's come out today and said that he'd like to see that NBA-style draft delivery.
I like that. That's what Hardwick said. But what's the definition of tanking? What is it?
Deliberately trying to lose games.
I don't believe any team's gone out to do that.
No. I my take on it as a player, current player, I know Anthony, former player, can I guess back me up, but as a player, I'm not going to go out there intentionally trying to lose a contest or miss a goal because of the self-pride we have. And the coaches at any stage never said we're going to lose this game. Yep. We're always intending to do our best. And, you know, whether players were playing in different positions or not, but every player in every position was doing their best.
Although we had Carlton, if you remember, in 07, after Neil Danaher left the club and Mark Riley took over as caretaker coach, we had Carlton in round 22 that year came out and admit that they were playing for the priority pick.
Well, mate, I can guarantee you that no player intentionally tries to lose a match. And up in the coach's box, the players don't have any idea what's going on. I'm not saying coaches are doing anything untoward, I mean, in regards to tanking, but the players certainly are trying to win the match football.
I totally agree with you. I think if a team with five rounds to go knows they're not going to make finals, what's the difference between finishing ninth and last? Obviously, it's priority picks. But if a player needs operation, send him in so he can have a great pre-season. If there's a forward line player who needs to learn how to play the forward line and he's not up to scratch, play him on one of the best opposition forward line players. Get him tuned, get him going right for the next year.
So you think playing people out of position is all right in that
absolutely.
Kind of, if you're not going to make
absolutely.
Finals?
Absolutely, they're not going to make finals. Yeah. And you know, you've got to set up your team as best as you can for the following year. Now, that's not tanking. That's just management of your team.
But is it more the tanking debate about maybe just not going out with the same intensity as you usually would? Maybe
players,
just taking
players
the foot
are
off
always
the pedal?
Players are always going out with their with intensity with a willingness to win, and you know the reality is if that guy's going, the forward line player's going to the back line, obviously it's probably not the best thing for the team at that stage, but it is the best thing for the team in the next year.
Okay, cool.
Well answered, and that's probably not an issue you have too often down at Collingwood as you sit nicely towards the top of the ladder each year.
It's definitely a topping tanking, whether it occurs or not. It's been around this year, it's been around, you know, previous years, and I'm sure it's going to be a topic that's going to stick around for years to come. Something else that has come up in the AFL this year has been the score review system. We'll get to that in just a sec, but for now, listening to Let's Talk Footy on Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9 with John Donohoe, Cale Morton and Dougal Austin.
And now on Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9, it's What's Hot and What's Not with Cale Morton.
How are we all? I'm back again for another big week of What's Hot and What's Not. Firstly, What's Hot? I've been watching the Olympics. I've been casting my eye over some of those athletes and there are a few rippers in there. Mainly the females, Donna's, for you and I. Yeah, but Dougal assures me that some of the blokes have got nice bodies as well. And if you're reading the tweets of one of our listeners, Daniel, he can back that up also. But also what's hot are the Hawthorn Hawks. They're absolutely flying at the moment. They had about 35 or 40 scoring shots against the Bombers, who are also finals contenders. But they really showed how to slice up a team last Friday night. What else is hot? Kevin Sheedy, 1,000 AFL games. That's just a remarkable effort for a player and a coach to reach that milestone. I'm not sure if we'll see it happen too often, but it's obviously fantastic for him. What's not? I've only got one this week, and it's really, really bugging me, but it's the missile, James Magnussen. I didn't like his cocky attitude before the 4x100 metre relay. He got the team off to a stinker of a start. You know, they bombed out, they came fourth, then he came out in his heat and he swam okay, and he put on the facade that he was going to win the gold medal. But he got pipped, he got done by a fingernail, and he's really set the scene for the Aussie athletes over there. But let's hope, you know, when it reaches the track, some of our athletes can pull their finger out and win golds for Australia. But look, I'm still supportive of them. I love the Aussies over there, and let's hope they can, with all this great support coming from Australia, they can get a few more medals over there.
That's some segment there from Cal Morton. What's hot, what's not? The most anticipated segment of each week. There you go, Morton. That was good.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, look, I got the SMS from Andrew Demetrio again on Monday morning, telling me to quieten down a bit. But yeah. I keep getting Dougal in my other ear telling me to ramp it up, so I'm just sitting on the fence at the moment.
What do you think, Anthony? You agree with any of that?
I like Jake Magnussen, how he's come out and said
the missile,
how he'd come out and say, like, I'm going to win everything, but he hasn't, but he put himself out there. Good on him.
I do like that, but you see, now that I'm sitting on the other side of the fence, you know, with the media, I've got to buy into this tall poppy.
You've got to put your Juno cap on and take your player's hat off.
I want you to state that this week you're going to come out, have 35 touches and kick 3 goals.
I like it. I'll get it done.
You'll be in the What's Hot segment next week.
We'll 35 touches and 3 goals.
And if you don't, you better watch out next week.
We'll get you on the phone next Thursday night. You'll be at training. Hopefully you'll... it won't be too muddy for you and you can still answer your phone.
But to the listeners out there, if you've got any questions or
have we had any SMSs that are coming?
Thoughts on Morton's What's Hot, What's Not segment, text us in 0427JOY949 or tweet us at FootyJoy.
At footy joy for those that are on Twitter. But keep the SMSs coming, people. It's been a bit quiet tonight.
You can send an email as well to onair@joy.org.au.
Yep, you sure can, Google. But look, we've got Anthony Rocker here in the studio, so fire away, people.
You mentioned Kevin Sheedy was in your What's Hot segment, Kale.
Yep, mate, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Sheedy.
Well, he's coming up to his 1,000th game. First person in the history of VFL AFL to reach 1,000 games as a player or a coach. Anthony, you must have some fondest memories of Sheeds.
Yeah, look, I got to play in a lot of the Anzac Day games, and at the time he was the main instigator who created the day with Lee Matthews, and you know, what a great showcase for our game. I know how special it is to walk out on Anzac Day and hear the last post and the national anthem on that day and pay our respects to all the servicemen and ladies who served our country. But my fondest memory is the jacket wave over in Perth.
Yes.
And it keeps going. It's still going now. He almost took off when he got it going, but that's my fondest memory.
Do you think, the best coach your team's ever played against?
Look, he's one of the greatest coaches going around. He got the best out of his players, like Mick Malthouse as a coach that I had. But look, he's been a tremendous ambassador for the game.
Yeah, he definitely has. And Dougal, we caught up with him today, didn't we?
We did catch up with him today, and he'll be joining us very shortly on the line. But my fondest memory of Sheeds, I think, was his reaction after the 2000 grand final. I know it was against our mob, Kale, but look, he did a tremendous job bringing up the baby bombers in the early 90s. And look, his reaction after that 2000 grand final, after they came short in 99 by a couple of points. And I'll always remember that. What he did after that 2000 grand final.
I don't actually remember that reaction too fondly. I was only 10 years old, but I do remember that season. I think they won their first 20 games. They came up against the Bulldogs in round 21 and had their first loss of the
10
season.
10 points.
Yeah. They lost that game, but you know, 20 wins in a row, and obviously went on to win the grand final that year. So was that his second premiership? And the first being 93, is that
correct? Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so, mate, 1,000 games as a coach and a player, that's a remarkable effort. And, you know, who knows if it'll ever be achieved again or not, but he's really leads the way in a lot of initiatives that the AFL have, and you know, heading up to Sydney to be the front and be the face of the GWS Giants is another challenge that he's bestowed upon himself. And look, do you guys think he'll be coaching there next year? I've heard a little whisper.
We had a chat to him today, and he seems quietly confident he'll be still there next year.
Rumours that Choco Williams may not be there.
Morton has his little source that he thinks he's heading back to South Bank next year.
That's right, mate. That's right. My sources can reveal that Sheeds might be on his way back to Melbourne next year. But
they did come out the other week, GWS, and they named their best and fairest award after Kevin Sheedy, the Kevin Sheedy Medal. Anthony, do you think that was a fair award named after him?
Well, that's news to me. Great award. Look, Sheedy's been an ornament to the game, so why not?
Yeah.
Bloody oath. And we've got a text here. Donners, we've got a text that says, "Love the footy show on Joy. Really enjoyed the chat with Anthony." Glenn from Abbotsford.
Thanks for that, Glenn.
A big big Collingwood supporter, actually. I know Glenn. He lives down the road from Vic Park, so he used to watch the boys play down at Vic Park.
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, we play our VFL games down at Vic Park, and it's in pretty good nick.
Mm. And 3WBC? Do the broadcast for the VFL footy.
Absolutely.
Hoops and all.
They get down there and have a chat every now and then. And it's a good setup, the VFL system at the moment.
Mm. Tell you what, listeners out there, if you've got a fondest memory of Kevin Sheedy, we want to know about it. Send in a text, 0427-JOY-949, 0427-JOY-949, and you won't be in the running, but if you send in a text with your fondest memory of Kevin Sheedy, you will win. Elton John, Love is the Cure. It's a book that's just been released a couple of weeks ago. It's going wild on the shelves at your local bookshops. So send in your fondest memory of Kevin Sheedy, and you'll definitely get a copy of that book.
And something different from the Jacket Wave and all those other memories, the Doogles one after the two.
The Seagull one?
The Seagull,
I don't remember that one. I might have been a youngster at that stage.
I can vaguely remember someone getting hit behind play, and I think after the press conference, he said, must have been a seagull.
It sounds like something he'd say.
Donners and I did catch up with Kevin Sheedy earlier today and spoke to him about his upcoming 1,000th VFL AFL match as a player or a coach. And this is what some of Sheed's had to say to us. Coming up to 1,000 games, Sheeds, exciting time this weekend for you.
Look, it is, because obviously I've been around a while. It's just a game that you think, well, you know, let's see if these young kids can get up and have some fun and win one, because it's been a bit of a tough year for everyone. And obviously still being involved in the game, it's exciting because, you know, with 6 NAB Rising Star Awards already and there's another 5 weeks to go, where you never know what's going to jump out of the box in these games we're playing.
Sheeds, how have you assessed the year so far? Are you pretty happy with how the team's going? A lot of the time you've been challenging the teams for the first half and doing pretty well at that as well.
Look, the last couple of weeks we've played okay in the third quarter, which has been really pleasing because we kicked over 4 goals at Fremantle, and last week we kicked 1-7 against a top 4 side in the third quarter. So they've been our best third quarters for, you know, a fairly long while. You know, I mean, we played well against Richmond, and obviously we beat the Gold Coast Suns. So we played a lot longer and better in those games. But against a top 4 side, obviously, could have been easily 4 or 5 goals. And that was, from our point of view, really exciting because we're now playing into the 90th minute of the match.
Prime Minister of Australia Julia Gillard has come out this week, and she's led tributes for yourself ahead of your 1,000th game this week. What have those tributes meant to you personally?
Oh, it's always, look, you don't go running around for those sort of things, but when sometimes people say well done and you're doing a good effort, you appreciate that, whether it's the Prime Minister or whether it's any person out there that loves the footy and can see a genuine effort trying to help an organisation, whether it's the Scouts or whether it's, any area in society. This just happens to be footy, and it's a little bit sort of, you know, serious in sport, but there's a lot of other good people that should deserve a lot of accolades.
Yeah, Sheeds, you, I just want to say you're a credit to the game, and can you believe yourself that you've gotten to 1,000 games as a player and coach? 250 games for Richmond, 634 games coached at Essendon, and so far you've had, 18 games coached at the GWS Giants. It's been a good career for you.
Oh, no, I couldn't complain about the amount of time that this game's been good for me and the amount of fun I've had in it. I mean, you don't win every game, and we didn't at Essendon. I think we lost about 240 games. That's 11 years you drove home losing, so it wasn't always a happy time. and a few one-point losses in preliminary finals. I wasn't dancing on those nights. But it's a very challenging game, and it's a game where you actually get to see your fantastic Australia. It's a great country.
Absolutely.
And it's been marvellous for me, that.
Yeah, and how long do you think you can go on for, Sheeds? Do you still have the passion to go on for maybe even 8-9 more years or something?
I don't think I'll be going on for another 8 or 9 more years. Okay.
Well, we'd love to see you in the game for that long.
Yeah, I think I'll just sneak along quietly and try and get these guys through their early years.
Yeah.
And then obviously move on to some fun things to do in my life other than headbutting you guys and radio and the press and being challenged. Being told by Eddie McGuire that I've got to have falafels for dinner and then try and pinch Travis Cloke off him and all that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, geez.
It can be a bit of fun.
Yeah. Sheeds, I just thought I'd ask you, is it true that there's only one player on the list this year that hasn't played a game of football, and that's my good mate Tim Golds?
No, actually, I announced today that Tim Golds will be probably coming into the team next week or the following week.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear that, Sheeds. that's good that you've got the you've been able to use the whole list and see where how everyone, you know, works out, and that you've got that for the future as well.
Well, Tim had come off a severe injury.
Yes, I know that. Broke his leg.
Yeah, so it's all right to say put him in the round one, but you know, he had to put on some weight. He's got to get a year's training under his belt. And,
that's true.
You know, with four or five games to go, I think I may have told Tim maybe 3 weeks ago that he's going to come in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks and we'll play him his first game. And if he plays okay, then we might play him a couple in a row.
Well, he's a he is a talented boy, I can tell you that, after spending four years with him.
You're not here. You do not need to be pumping your mate's tyres up to a coach, all right? This will all be heard by the fans out there.
No, I don't need you sucking up about him.
Looking ahead this week, Kev, your 1,000th game against Port Adelaide, there's a special $20 general admission ticket for the match, which will include a commemorative Kevin Sheedy 1,000 flag, also a motorcade before the match and a special guard of honour by both teams. And I think the fans are also going to have the chance to meet you after the game and have a photograph and autograph with yourself as well. I know the boys are going to be in attendance as well, and also fans can leave a message on a commemorative wall inside Skoda Stadium. Did you have any input into these options for the fans?
When they told me that's what they had on the menu, I said, forget the motorcade. I'm walking out with my family, but I will not be getting in a motorcade travelling around Skoda Stadium. might have been a great ad for Skoda, but I think I can just walk through a guard of honour and appreciate and respect the players that they're there, and thank you very much. Let's get on with the game.
So, before we let you go, Sheeds, will Kevin Sheedy be the first premiership coach at the GWS Giants?
I think I'll be Father Christmas.
Sheeds, you're a marvel to the game. It's been great to have a chat with you on Let's Talk Footy on Joy, and hopefully later on the year or next year we can have another chat.
Thanks, Sheeds.
No worries.
You're listening to Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9 with John Donohoe, Kale Morton and Dougal Austin.
Let's Talk Footy, Melbourne's Joy 94.9. Dougal Austin, Kale Morton, John Donohoe, and your special guest Anthony Rocker with you. And joining us in the studio now, she doesn't have a mic, but Danae Gibson coming up very shortly for Danae's opinions. Anthony, it's been great having you in the studio with us tonight, mate. Much appreciated.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking about footy.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in at late notice.
That's what we're all about, isn't it? Talking footy in here, boys.
Talking footy, we are.
You've been the best guest we've had on Let's Talk Footy this year.
Head and shoulders.
Best and biggest.
Best,
Have I been the only guest?
No, there's been others, but not as good.
Great, yeah, thanks. We've had four, you're the fourth.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Here's a thank you note for you for coming in, mate. Take them, use them wisely. Thank you very much.
I might go straight there. I'm pretty peckish right
now. Yeah. Anyway. Parlour vouchers, so get stuck into a short stack.
But look, we got a text in, Dougal, about a favourite Sheedy moment. Harry from Brighton says, my favourite Sheeds moment was when he yelled at and threatened the other side at three-quarter time of a game when it was getting heated. And we obviously don't condone violence, but that was a very good moment in Sheeds' history. What do you reckon, Mortz? Is
Mate,
that a good one?
Look, I think that game at three-quarter time was against West Coast. And,
it was, I think, yeah.
I distinctly remember being at that game. And
really?
I remember at the three-quarter time huddle, it was very heated and both coaches were involved. But, you know, Sheeds, who's probably renowned for being theatrical and that at the breaks, got himself into a bit of trouble that day.
Danae, do you remember that moment?
I do. Yeah. I even remember who it was against.
Was it Mitchell White?
It was Mitchell White. Yeah. And he said something like, come round to my place for pizza afterwards and let's talk about the game over a hot chocolate.
He just wanted a hot chocolate and catch up.
Absolutely.
Didn't seem that way.
That wasn't the marshmallows. Were Sheeds involved in the marshmallow incident? Was that Pagan that they threw marshmallows at? Do you remember that?
I know what you're talking about. I think it was Pagan, though.
Yeah, I seem to recall that there were allegations that North Melbourne Kangaroos were soft, and so there were marshmallows thrown at them at some game. But I think that was before the come round to my place for a hot chocolate and pizza.
Now, it's that time of week. Everyone looks forward to hearing your opinions, and look, personally, it's just getting through the week until Thursday night when I can hear from you again. So what have you got for us this week, and how can you enlighten us?
Well, I've been... I'm super fortunate to be enjoying holidays at the moment.
Lucky
so,
you.
Yeah, I am so fortunate. I am literally going from the big screen projector.
Meanwhile, John and I are back to uni next Monday.
let her finish.
Go on.
Yeah. Well, the Olympic Games will still be going then, won't they?
They will.
I've been watching the 5-0s because you're not allowed to talk about them unless you're getting paid by them. But I've been super enjoying either listening to the coverage on the radio of the Olympics or watching it on the telly. Mm. And it reminded me during the week that there's a guy called Malcolm Gladwell, and he wrote a book some years ago about how it takes 10,000 hours of practice at something, anything, any of your chosen fields to become really proficient at it. So 10,000 hours.
Jeez.
So if you want to be the best radio presenter in the universe, then you've got to do 10,000 hours.
That's a long way to go then in that case.
Well, if you think maybe you've done 6 or 7.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And I thought about that. It's like, that's if you had a 40-hour week, that's 5 years every...
24/7.
Well, 40 hours a week. If you like, that's 1,928 hours of work in a calendar year.
Wow.
With your 4 weeks leave. So it would take at least 5 years to become fairly proficient at something. And so that covers two Olympiads, doesn't it? You know, you could maybe get into the national squad and then 5 years later you might be competing against the world's best. And that's what I love about the games, watching... You know, the world's best competing against each other. And I just thought, just a quick segue that and there's been some interesting things said about the games, and Russell and Lauren Mark are part of the shooting team, and they were the ones complaining about not being able to room together, which I thought was pretty funny. And I don't know if they meant it in jest or that there was a bit of maybe we just want a bit of media attention, or I'm not sure what the motivation was. But Russell, I think, had everyone on side until he said, well, you know, there's lots of gay couples that compete at the Olympics and they can sleep together. And it's like, hey, and I had a look around, and on pinknews.com, there's an article that says there are 20 out gay, lesbian, transgender, queer, however you identify, Olympians. So you can go to pinknews.com, and it's a British website, is a queer website, that has pictures and profiles of all the athletes who have literally said at some stage, I'm out and big deal and I'm an Olympian or whatever.
Did any of the names come out, stick out in your mind?
Well, there were a couple, there were only a couple of names I recognised, and strangely, they were both Australian. But there were, you know, high profile, Matthew Mitchum, clearly.
Yeah, Matthew Mitchum, like, yeah.
He's, Natalie Cook.
And Natalie Cook. The only two that I recognised, but there were all sorts of players from all sorts of sports.
Yeah.
And it's worth having a look. When you think that there, how many athletes are there, Dougal, at the Olympics?
Thousands.
Yeah. And there
from
are 20.
From 204 countries.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. About 10,000. Yeah. And there's 20 that are comfortable and out there saying we're queer.
Yeah. But do you know what's interesting as you read out your opinions there, just taking us back a minute, about the book of 10,000 hours?
Mm.
Of those 10,000 athletes, I wonder how many different perspectives they've got on how to achieve their best result.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember one cyclist called Ryan Bailey who, after he achieved the penultimate, like he got to the pinnacle of cycling in the velodrome, and he won the gold medal, and then days later came out and said, you know, it wasn't that hard. I eat Hungry Jacks, I eat Macca's, I do this, I do that. I don't have a good diet, you know.
He was a Perth boy. I remember that too.
Perth boy. It was huge news because everyone for so long thought these athletes dedicate so much time and effort into becoming the best, and he came out and made a joke.
And the other expression that I have, one of my all-time favourite AFL personalities, and we can call him that, player and coach, is Ronald Dale Barassi, born on the same day as me, or me born on the same day as him, you know. So anyway, I love Barassi. I think he's fantastic. And I remember him saying during the 70s when he was coaching North Melbourne, and he was the super coach, they actually dubbed that phrase for him, that perfect... practice makes perfect is bullshit. Perfect practice makes perfect.
And I've heard that a lot of times from my dad as well. So that one's filtered
Mort
through.
Senior.
That's right. No, it's definitely filtered through the through.
Well, he would have been a young man when.
Yeah, no, he was. And I still see Barass around the club, and you know he's got the greatest aura about him. You know, when he walks past you, it's
it makes you glow, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's a great. He's a great man, and he's doing wonders still for the AFL and for the Melbourne footy.
Just changing the conversation for a minute. How good was Anthony earlier?
He's a super rocker.
Very good. Very comfortable.
I was shattered he left early. I had a good story to ask him. I'll enlighten you now. I actually heard that on a trip to America with the football club, he put down a couple of dollars on a table at a casino and won $150,000. So I wanted to ask him, actually, but we ran out of time.
And I wanted to ask him about how he reignited Zach Dawson's career all those years ago. And the comment here, it says he has to learn after Rocky kicked 8 on him. So
well, I hope Zach Dawson is back in the Fremantle squad.
Is. I saw that today. He is back.
And I hope that Western Derby number 752,000, whatever...
Well,
anyway. West Coast versus Fremantle. Actually, it's Fremantle versus West Coast this Saturday. It's a home game for the Frio crowd. So listen out for some duck whistle sounds, because my mail is that the Frio supporters are really fed up with the West Coast Eagles ducking and getting over the shoulder free kicks.
That's clever.
So they want to go wah, wah, wah every time.
You won't be flying over for it?
No.
My tip is West Coast.
I remember when...
Are we tipping?
We are.
Sorry, JD.
I remember when Peter Bell was playing, he used to get the ball, and there was always a woman over there with
a bell.
With a bell. And you just hear it. Peter Bell get 35 touches, and you just hear it.
Her name was Docker Dye, and I think she's been a docker as long as I have.
That's fantastic. Definitely the length that some supporters go to during the games.
Talking a bit about the Olympics before, how good is the name of that Chinese table tennis female player? Ding Ning.
Ding Ning.
Ding Ning.
Well, we've got, representing Australia in the table tennis, we've got Meow Meow.
Meow Meow.
Yep. And I saw...
William Hensel.
A pole vaulter, I think, from China. Oh, no, she might have been a swimmer. Kim Yu Suk. So there's a couple of interesting names going around. And,
I was disappointed when the diver that has represented us so well got married and changed her name, because she was Loudy Talky, and she's now... and I think it's Ludi, to be fair, as Ludi Wiggins. She's married to a former... Carlton player.
There's a Dutch swimmer out there.
Simon Wiggins.
There's a Dutch swimmer out there, and the name is Cromwo Dojo Woe or something.
Whoa.
It's it's a handful to say, but
it's very intense.
Which is clearly why you buggered it up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Something else to come up this week. Obviously, John and I, we caught up with Kevin Sheedy earlier today.
Mate, that was great.
Listeners could hear.
Congratulations on that interview.
That wasn't the full interview. That was the edited version. If you'd like to hear the extended interview with Kevin Sheedy, go to our Facebook page, Let's Talk Footy, facebook.com/Let's Talk Footy. A couple of the other points that he brought up there, Kay, I'm not sure whether you heard. He said that certain parts of the game that we have to get better. He doesn't think our disposal has caught up to the speed of the game yet, and by that he means the actual execution of kicking by either foot. He said that we got it right there for a period, somewhere between the early 90s to 2000, and then in the end the game exploded again with these rotations. The running between the 50 metre arcs is quite enormous these days. He thinks that it's if it's something that we can slow down the rotations, he would have less rotations. But if we're not careful, the coaches will soon end up having two on the bench and two rotations.
It's going to happen anyway.
I'll address the first issue he raised there about the skill level. I think with the amount of rotations in the game at the moment, you're required to run at your full capacity each time you're on the field, which means that every time you get the ball, you're under such great fatigue. So trying to execute your skill running at 100% pace is actually quite hard, and that's a skill that only a few players have actually mastered in the AFL.
So it always seemed to me that why Matthew Lloyd was doing the grass toss was clearly to maximise the 30 seconds between marking the ball and having a shot.
Yeah, if you think about it, when a player is trying to kick a goal, they actually slow down and take 30 seconds.
Yep.
But yet, when a player gets the ball in general play, they're actually running at full tilt. So it's obviously harder to execute the skill, as I guess, which is why they slow down to take the set shots.
Yeah.
But look, Sheeds comes up with a few interesting points every time we, hear from him.
He's an absolute genius, and he knows the game back to front. And it's a well-deserved 1,000 games this weekend, I think, and I hope he has a few more.
I don't believe there's a Kevin Sheedy trophy. We should come up before next week with what shall be called the Kevin Sheedy trophy, because the NAB Rising Star is actually the Ron Evans medal.
Yes.
And I don't think many people refer to that.
Did you know the GWS just named their best and fairest after Kevin Sheedy?
Ah, no, I didn't.
So they've got in brilliant. First there. They've just beaten That's us brilliant. For the yeah. Let's Talk Footy Hosting Award. We were going to call that the Kevin Sheedy medal. Google's leading the way there, isn't
there you
he?
Go.
By head and shoulders.
Guys, it's been another huge show. Before we quickly wrap up, a couple of big games this week. Hawthorn Geelong starting us off tomorrow night.
Ginormous
an
game.
Absolutely cracker. Podsy Adley and Oren Stevenson, Maddie Scarlett back for the Cats.
Yep.
Some big ins there.
And who's in for the Hawks?
And David Hale in for the Hawks. Shane Savage out.
Interesting. So, but I think, I don't know if we're going to tip this, but I don't know if it's a tippable.
Tipping some mugs
game. I don't know if it's a tippable game, but what do you reckon, Mort? It's going to be a cracker,
isn't
it? Oh,
mate, it'll be an absolute belter. Hawthorn, the form team of the competition, and Geelong are just the best team going around.
Yeah,
so what I think it'll be a case of, you know, can Geelong still keep the hoodoo going and stay on top of Hawthorn?
I think Cyril might have a big night tomorrow night.
I think Hawthorn have a point to prove.
Yeah, definitely. I think Hawthorn, definitely firing up there at the moment. And I guess another big game, you know, Melbourne Gold Coast on Sunday.
Huge game.
You know, some ins for the D's. You know, Stephen Martin, Neville Jetta and Dan Nicholson have gone out. But the ins include Jordan Gisberts, Luke Tapscott, Jack Fitzpatrick, Josh Tynan, James Magna, and this man here, Cale Morton.
Let's talk footy's very own.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm proud to announce I'll be taking the field in the
starting
navy
18.
And red colours of the Melbourne Demons.
Well, chookers for that. I hope you go well.
Yeah, so I'm very excited.
You might remember last week, Sam Bramham, who was with us, the Australian Paralympian, coming along this weekend to watch
great.
The game.
And,
great
man.
Peter Bell had a bell, but you'll have Dougal's loud voice going every time you get a position.
Well, you never know. There might only be a very few amount of people there on the weekend, so I could possibly be hearing you quite
well. There'll be one person in attendance, and that'll be me.
But this is genuinely not a massive game, but it's going to be a corker because Gold Coast are in good form and Melbourne have a point to prove as well.
So all I'll say, Carl, is good luck and don't get your mouth smashed in so you can be on air next Thursday.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I don't care if you break a leg or I do. Thanks, Dougal.
John, good on you.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
Thanks, Dougal.
We'll catch you again next
week. Another good show. No prize winner tonight, but next week.
No prize winner, so the Elton John books goes into the unallocated prize box.
I think
box.
Glenn from Abbotsford was the closest winner, but not a member of Joy. We'll have to sign him up.
We'll have to sign him up. Danae, thank you. We'll see you again next week. Good on you, Cale.
Cheers, mate.
Good luck for the match. Dougs. Next week, our special guest next week joining us in the studio, Michael O'Loughlin.
Looking forward to it.
Is the guest getting bigger and bigger?
Huge. Coming in straight after his book signing next Thursday, and he's bringing in his own book, personalised signature, and that'll be our prize for next week.
Beautiful, mate. Good. Well done.
Thanks, mate.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Footy on Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9.
Tune in next week for another great show.
I got my scarf, got my old coat. I got a 40 game to go to.
That was a podcast of Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.